Good morning, everyone. We'll have a look at the intimations. Welcome to our joint service of worship this morning, especially our friends from Limekilns Church and any newcomers or visitors. The joint service at Limekilns today is the first of two joint services, and next Sunday, the 6th of April, we will meet at Limekilns Church. Once again, this will be at the special time of 10:30 a.m. There will be no service in Cairney Hill, nor any Zoom presentation next week, but Limekilns Church has a YouTube channel. Please ask the welcome team or contact us online if you need details. West Fife Village Church's cluster, latest news. An update on discussions with our neighbouring congregations is available in the vestibule or from the website and Facebook. Warm Spaces and Sanctuary Cinema. Thanks to everyone who came along to our Warm Spaces and Sanctuary Cinema events over the past 4 months. Thank you also to everyone involved in arranging and running the events. We hope the films were enjoyed. We hope to run a similar programme next winter, starting in November. Lent Discussion Group. Our discussion group is meeting during Lent to look at material provided by Sanctuary First. The next meeting is on Wednesday, the 2nd of April, at 7 p.m. in the manse. There is also a regular meeting in Cooris on Monday mornings. Speak to Derek or Kath if interested. Coffee mornings. The dates for our next coffee mornings are Saturday the 5th of April and the 10th of May. These run from 10 a.m. until 12 noon. Please note the dates. If you can help, please add your name to the lists in the vestibule. Walking group. The next outing is on Sunday the 13th of April to Low Valleyfield and Cooris. Meet in the church car park at 2 p.m. A full programme is available in the vestibule, or contact Maureen Black on 881872 for information. Holy Week and Easter. Holy Week begins on Monday the 14th of April and Easter is on Sunday the 20th of April. Details of our programme of gatherings and special services will be published soon. And finally, for those on Zoom, here is a look at the order of service. Let us worship Lord, let us sing his praises with hymn 198, let us build a house where love can dwell.
Thank you. anticipated. So let's dedicate our offering. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you welcome us with open arms. Thank you that all are welcome in this place. We thank you for your provision for our lives, for we recognise that all we have comes from your hands. You give us an abundance of blessings. So we bring to you these our offerings, and we dedicate them to you, to the work of your church and to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. I thought I'd better say that just in case I've not had a chance to say good morning to anybody. And I appear to have lost my wife. She's disappeared out of the church and she's not in the manse. Oh no, she's back. I thought after 51 years of happy marriage I'd finally achieved it, but anyway, I'm not this morning. Sorry, Margaret. Oh, I'm in trouble now. Anyway, I'm up to pray or to lead the prayers this morning. So I would like you to join with me in prayer. And the first prayer is a prayer of thanks and confession. So together, let us pray. Almighty God, on this Mothering Sunday, we would wish to thank you for and ask your blessing for all mothers in our world. May they continue to nurture, care, and surround their children with their special mother's love and with the knowledge of your special love for them. Loving God, we praise and worship you, for you are a great and loving God. We thank you for sending us your Son, Jesus Christ. We have just sung to you about the love of Christ that exists in this house, our church in Cairnhill. Of the grace you offer and your awesome love for us, all of which we give you grateful thanks. In this time of Lent, enable us both to examine our conscience and to inform it, both to examine our faith and deepen it, and to watch and pray as Christ would have us do, so that we recognize temptation and spurn it. Forgiving God, we come before you confessing that sometimes in our actions we have succumbed to temptation, and by doing so we have failed you. Sometimes in our loving and forgiving we have failed you. Sometimes in our actions, such as crossing the street to avoid that person or not making that caring phone call, we have failed you. Sometimes in our believing and trusting in you, we have denied your grace and power, and again we have failed you. Therefore, now we wish in a moment of silence to come before you in humble confession to seek your forgiveness of our personal sins where we have failed you. Thank you, O Lord, for listening to our prayers and your loving forgiveness. Now we would wish to pray together the Lord's Prayer as taught to us by our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours now and forever. Amen. I did warn Derek I'm a bit dopey first thing in the morning. I forgot I have to announce the next hymn. Now, folks, we'll join together in the next hymn, which is hymn 167, Guide Me, O Great Jehovah.
Three jobs to do this morning, I thought, but George has taken care of one of them. I didn't want us to go through the service without acknowledging that it is indeed Mothering Sunday, but we know that now. So it's a chance to remember mums and also mothering churches. However, our theme today is actually on the plan, the Sanctuary First material that the study groups have been using. We kind of jumped a week because we started a week late, but the material we've used this week is called Gardener and Baker. And the subtext is Jesus telling everyone he was the bread of life. Now, when we chose the hymns for today, you might find one or two feel a wee bit like communion hymns, and that's because we discovered that if you look at bread in the hymn book, most of the hymns that mention bread are sometimes used for communion. However, bread of life. So we're going to read from John 6 shortly, but by way of introduction, we have a video for you. Pizza, a sign of hope.
How can pizza be a sign of hope? What can pizza tell us about God and theology and church and life as we're living it today? Well, the other day, my daughter and I were hanging out and we were getting pizza, right? We were going to be making pizza, okay? But we had dough, so we had this, you know, hadn't made it from scratch. It was just one of these ones that comes in a packet you get from the supermarket, and it's a bunch of dough. You can keep it in the fridge, and then when you need it and you want to make pizza, you want that kind of fresh pizza vibe, but without, you know, having to make it all from scratch, you can pull out this dough and get going. So it saves time. Right? Saves time. But not enough time for a 4/5-year-old, perhaps, who really has pizza on the brain and she wants to get it on now. So I was trying to communicate to her the idea that, you know, when you've got the dough, we can't just yank it out of the fridge, splodge it down, stick the toppings on and fire it in the oven, as much as I'd like to, because I was also hungry. Because I was trying to explain this idea that there's yeast, right? And there is yeast, and, you know, we're reaching the limits of my scientific knowledge here, okay? I'm no expert on yeast. But I was trying to think, well, how can I convey this idea that the dough needs to sort of wake up? That you kind of just yank it out of the fridge and fling it in the oven. You know, the instructions aren't, we're going to knead it, dough it, you know, stretch it out a wee bit, and then let it settle a little bit, knead it a little bit more, divide it up, etc. And then you're good to go. And so I said, okay, well, let's go on a wee journey. Let's imagine ourselves as the dough, okay? So we did this wee game, right? And this wee game saved my sanity, okay, for a few minutes while we were waiting for this pizza to come. So I'm going to play this game with you now, okay? So I said, right, let's imagine that we're the dough. Okay, so we're going to start off, we're in the fridge, right? And it's so cold, and we're kind of sleepy because the yeast has gone to sleep. We're in the dough. Oh, and it's suddenly, oh, bright light, oh, someone's opened the door. Oh my goodness, oh jinx. Oh, here we are, oh, someone's opened the packet. Okay, and then we can, and I was saying to her, me and my daughter, I was like, okay, we can loosen up a wee bit. Oh, this is quite nice actually. Oh, we're warming up a little bit. So we can stretch our dough body, right? Because the yeast is starting to wake up a wee bit, and then somebody's starting to knead us a wee bit. Yes, and we're stretching out, and we're stretching out. Oh my goodness, we're starting to wake up. And as we're kneading and the yeast is waking up, well, then it starts chomping and the dough is getting bigger and the dough explodes. And then this is our favourite bit, right? We're pure pelting it around the house. We're just pelting round and round because the dough is expanding. And suddenly, voila, you've got these big pizza bases ready for the toppings, ready for the oven, and away we go. And of course, as you can imagine, I'd made a rod for my own back because that was her favourite bit. And she thought, let's go again, and she just couldn't wait for the yeast to explode and for us to pelt around. And suddenly the yeast has come to life. And so why does this give me hope? Well, bread, yeast, dough, pizza's basically just a flat bread you whang in the oven with some food on top. And so bread is this metaphor that we look a lot at in the Bible because it's this phenomenal scientific process that happens, that you take something mundane and you knead a wee bit of life into it. You introduce a wee bit of yeast and suddenly what was just a handful of kind of grains and dusty stuff becomes this amazing food that can feed us and nourish us. And I think it's easy to think sometimes that, you know, in our own lives or in the lives of our churches or communities or whatever, we might be like, maybe there was yeast once, but it's done now. I don't think there's anything left in this dough. I don't think we're getting any excitement here. I think this is us, we're just flat now, okay? There's no rise. But maybe, oh, here's the hope, right? Here's the hope. Maybe we find out that actually we're just in the fridge. We've just been chilling in the fridge. And actually all that's needed is for the light to come in. Oh, and for us to warm up a little bit and to stretch a little bit and get kneaded so that through the Holy Spirit we can explode. And off we go again. But exploding! Oh, jinx! Oh my goodness! And then we can become wonderful, beautiful, tasty pizza. Pizza for Jesus, maybe. Oh, pizza with Jesus. That'd be good, wouldn't it? Imagine that, breaking pizza with Jesus. I'd love that.
We dramatise this morning's reading for you. I'd like to set the scene. A large crowd had gathered around Jesus, drawn to him because of the miracles he had done to heal the sick. Jesus performed a further miracle, taking a boy's 5 barley loaves and 2 little fish and fed this crowd. We know this story as the feeding of the 5,000. And in this way, Jesus met the crowd's biological need for physical food. Jesus then withdrew into the hills to be alone because he knew the crowd planned to come and take him by force to make him their king. While Jesus was alone in the hills, his followers decided to cross the Lake of Galilee by boat to Capernaum. During that crossing, a storm arose, and Jesus joined them in their boat by walking on the water. And so they landed safely together. The following day, the crowd, which had been left behind, got into boats newly arrived from Tiberias, and likewise crossed the Lake of Galilee to Capernaum in search of him. They find him, and Jesus takes this opportunity to teach them about who he is, that he can and will meet their and our spiritual need for spiritual food. So please listen carefully to our dramatized reading, which comes from John 6, verses 25 to 55. And folks, would you like to come and join me? When the people found Jesus on the other side of the lake, they said to him,
"Teacher, when did you get here?"
"I'm telling you the truth. You are looking for me because you ate the bread and had all you wanted, not because you understood my miracles. Do not work for food that goes bad. Instead, work for the food that lasts for eternal life. This is the food which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has put the mark of approval on him."
"What can we do in order to do what God wants?"
"What God wants you to do is to believe in the one he sent."
"But what miracle will you perform so that we may see it and believe you?" "What will you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the desert, just as the scriptures say. He gave them bread from heaven to eat."
"I'm telling you the truth. What Moses gave you was not the bread from heaven. It is my Father who gives you the real bread from heaven. For the bread that God gives is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world."
"Sir, give us this bread always."
"I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never be hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty."
The people started grumbling about Jesus because he said,
"I am the bread that came down from heaven."
So they said,
"This man is Jesus, son of Joseph, isn't he?
We know his father and mother.
How then does he now say he came down from heaven?"
Jesus answered,
"No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him to me, and I will raise him to life on the last day. He who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the desert, but they died. But the bread that comes from heaven is of such a kind that whoever eats it will not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. The bread that I will give him is my flesh, which I gave so that the world may live."
This started an angry argument among them.
"How can this man give us his flesh to eat?"
Jesus said to them,
"I'm telling you the truth. If you do not eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you will not have life in yourselves. Whoever eats my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him to life on the last day. For my flesh is the real food, my blood is the real drink."
This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us continue worshipping together by singing hymn 657, "Father Most Loving, Listen to Your Children."
Did you all have time for breakfast this morning when you had the clocks to go forward? So what did you have? Toast? A filled roll? Cereal? Porridge? Or did you have the whole works? Bacon, eggs, sausage, tomato, etc., etc.? And what kind of bread do you like? Wholemeal? Plain? Pan? Or something more exotic? I was reading a wee snippet in the paper recently about a young mother in Birmingham who was fined £75 for feeding bread to ducks in her local park. The warden said she was littering. However, her 17-month-old son was allowed to feed his feathered friends as he was too young to be prosecuted. So, a word of warning, if you go feeding the ducks, take a 17-month-old child with you. Bread. Since biblical times, it has been the staple food, not necessarily pizza. There was little change in the way it was made from the time down to Jesus' time. Bread was made from the flour of ground wheat or barley, and flour mixed with salt and water, and the dough, either leavened or unleavened, was baked in an oven or on a metal griddle. The loaves were of varying shapes and sizes, sometimes flat and round, or in the shape of a modern rectangular loaf. Paradoxically, here's a big word for Sunday morning, the ordinariness of the bread is the basis of its extraordinary importance in the Gospels. And here in John's Gospel, Jesus declares, "I am the bread of life." Jesus, the only source of eternal life, but without him we have no life. As we heard following the feeding of the 5,000 and the incident of Jesus walking on water, the crowd finally catch up with him at the synagogue in Capernaum. And as he speaks to them, some of the Jews are grumbling, and he makes this astonishing statement. "Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Jesus had provided bread for 5,000 hungry people. And as amazing and miraculous as that was, the miracle wasn't the point. The significance of the miraculous sign was in who Jesus is. On that occasion, he provided bread for the physically hungry. Essentially, Jesus comes to provide bread for the spiritually hungry. Not only is he the giver, he is also the gift itself. So Jesus becomes the sustenance of our life. He is the bread of the new life, the one on whom we depend entirely for our existence. And the bread we feed on, the source of life for us, is his death. His death gives us life, his death on the cross, that we might live. When sin came into the world, so did death, and that is why we will all one day physically die, because death is a consequence of sin. Because sin has placed us under God's sentence of death, the only means by which we can live is because of and through Christ's death on our behalf. The forgiveness his death has brought and which is available to us is the food and drink of the Christian life. Indeed, every day should be like being at a spiritual feast, savouring on the forgiveness of our sins available through Jesus. Jesus points towards Calvary when he says, "This bread is my flesh," his body which he will offer for the life of the world. His salvation extends to the world. Salvation not just for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles. Salvation for the world. However, I'm not a universalist. Jesus is savior of the world, but that doesn't mean the whole world is saved. Otherwise, for example, why the need for witnesses to go to the ends of the earth to proclaim the gospel? And John, as we read in John earlier, in John chapter 3, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. Salvation is offered to the world, but each one of us must accept it for ourselves. Jesus says, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. And all this talk about the body and blood may lead us to thinking about the elements in communion, the bread and the wine. And this apparently unambiguous statement in this verse might lead us to think that it is a direct reference to the Lord's Supper. We may think, well, if we eat the bread and drink the wine, we'll have eternal life. Jesus does not teach that receiving the sacrament is a requirement for eternal life. Communion, the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist, whatever you like to call it, like baptism, is an outward and visible sign of an inward and invisible work of grace. The Lord's Supper is not a means of becoming a Christian. It is a benefit of being a Christian. The Lord's Supper, along with baptism, hearing and studying the Word of God, prayer, fellowship, and suffering, is one of the means of grace deepening and maturing our life and faith. What Jesus does teach and emphasise in this very passage is that faith in him is required in response to his own testimony. And he says, whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him at the last day. Now there's a reason to keep believing and persevering in your faith, because of Christ's hold on you. That's the assurance that death cannot destroy the life that Christ gives. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. Flesh and blood pointing to Christ as the crucified one and the source of life. So Jesus speaks of putting our faith in him as God's appointed sacrifice, not at least directly in any ritual requirement. Our faith has to be in him, not in a religious act, which is really legalism, looking for salvation by law or works rather than by grace. Jesus' discussion or discourse contrasts ordinary physical life, which is sustained by bread, with eternal life sustained by him. Eternal life understood as a new quality and purpose of life, as well as life beyond death. And the manna is called the bread of heaven by the crowd, for whom it had become a symbol of the law. And the value of this manna was limited. The manna of in the time of Exodus in Moses' day, for all it sustained the people of God on their journey, it had no power to confer life, or a life that triumphs over death. In contrast, when Jesus identified himself as the bread of life, he claimed that he, rather than the law, was the source of eternal life. Only the heavenly food that Christ gives, the body and blood of God's incarnate Son offered on the cross, guarantees eternal life for every believer. Only those who come to believe in him and his saving death find the fulfillment of their quest for life. I am the bread of life. One of seven passages in John where Jesus says, I am. It strengthens Jesus' divine status by showing that he can work, speak, and act on the Father's behalf. For Jesus is no mere human. He is the Word of God dwelling in human flesh. In the many I am sayings, Jesus is publicly applying the divine name of God and God's authoritative presence to himself. and no prophet or priest in Israelite history would ever have done this. For Judaism, it is the clearest affirmation of all of Jesus' divinity, leading his hearers either to believe in him or to accuse him of blasphemy. This is perhaps the central theme of John's Gospel, that Jesus not only has eternal life, but he's also the mediator or the conveyor of eternal life for us. Jesus not only teaches, he also saves. He's not only or simply a great teacher, he is a great saviour. I am the bread of life. True life consists in knowing the word of God. So Christ's words are life, and he himself is life. And the reason that life is bound up with Christ and his words is that he makes known to us the Father. As John states in the opening chapter of his Gospel, no one has ever seen God but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. Frederick Denison Morris, 19th century English theologian and writer, stated that Christ will not command stones to be made bread. He will take the bread and say, "You also shall live by every word which proceeds out of the mouth of God. Eat, this is my body." We need food to eat to stay physically alive and healthy. We need spiritual food too, the word of God. So, without Jesus we have no life. He alone can provide all that we need. So feed on God's word. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Hallelujah. And all God's people said, Amen. So let us now continue. Let's sing 662 in the hymn book, "Jesus, Thou Joy of Loving Hearts."
Thank you.
And now we'll come together for our prayers for others. I would like you all to help me, please, if you wouldn't mind. I'd certainly need help this morning. If you would like to join in the prayer by saying these words at the appropriate time when I have a wee pause. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Would we all manage that? Lord, in our mercy, hear our prayer. I'm sure you've said this before. Let us pray for others. Let us pray. Almighty God, today on this Mothering Sunday, we give thanks for our church, our mother church, and earthly families, and pray for the churches where we first learned about you and our Saviour Jesus Christ. We pray for the Church of Scotland and our West Fife cluster in the hope that decisions being made will allow us through our missionary efforts to spread the good news of your message and love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Creator God, we thank you for our beautiful world, and we pray that you help us to care for it, to value all the glorious nature we see around us in all its variety. We pray for the places that are damaged by pollution, climate change, and natural disasters. In particular, we pray for the people of Myanmar as they seek to recover from the death, suffering, and destruction caused by the earthquake on Friday. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty God, we pray that you will bless and guide all in authority. We bring before you the leaders of our world and ask that they may work for peace and justice for their people with honesty and transparency. We pray that they will have compassion on their people and seek peaceful resolutions to their desires for power in all the areas of conflict in the world. Ukraine, Russia, Palestinian Gaza and West Bank, Sudan, and the Central South American countries in their fight against drug gangs. We pray for the people who feel they have no hope. We pray that they may see the peace of God and be renewed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, as your chosen people, holy and dearly loved, we pray that you will help us to bear with one another, be compassionate, gentle, and forgiving. We thank you for our families, friends, and church family members. Help us to let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts today and always. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful God, we pray for those who are in need of your loving and healing touch today. For women who long to be mothers, for children who are hungry, for families threatened by war, for the loved ones who are very ill, for the beloved child left home in haste, leaving behind uncertain parents, and for the depressed and frightened. In a few moments of silence, we pray for the persons that you have placed in our heart this morning. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Faithful God, this week may we reflect your love in the way we live our lives. I'm sorry, that was incorrect. May we reflect your love in the way we live our lives, so that the world can see that we are the followers of Christ, and that by our words and actions we may draw others into your loving care. Merciful Father, please accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And now our final hymn, hymn 743, We'll Walk the Land with Hearts of Fire. Thank you.